Protests have erupted in central Kenya in response to a US plan to establish a quarantine facility for Ebola at a military base, despite protests and Kenyan court orders blocking the move. Hundreds of people took to the streets of Nanyuki in central Kenya, with two people reportedly shot dead. The proposed 50-bed isolation centre would be staffed by US medics to reportedly treat US citizens. There have been more than 300 confirmed cases of Ebola and 60 deaths in the Democratic Republic of Congo, according to the World Health Organization. That's a significant drop on earlier estimates after hundreds of suspected cases were ruled out. But international aid workers warn it could still become the most deadly outbreak in history. Barbara Plett-Usher is a BBC Africa correspondent based in Kenya. She joined me a short time ago from Nairobi. Barbara, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hundreds of demonstrators have taken to the streets in Nanyuki in the past few days. Roads were blocked, tyres were set on fire, and two people were shot dead. What's sparking this backlash?
What's sparking this these protests are a decision by the Kenyan government to reach agreement with the U.S. to set up a quarantine facility in the town. The quarantine facility would be at a military Air Force base, which is located near the town. The news leaked from the U.S. The government didn't announce it or explain to locals what was going on. And so there has been a backlash as a result for different reasons. The people who were coming out on the street, they said they didn't feel safe. They said, we don't have Ebola in the country. Why do we want to bring it in? And why do we want to bring foreigners, especially Americans, in if they have the Ebola virus? They should be able to quarantine in the Democratic Republic of Congo or Uganda or somewhere else. So there's a basic fear. There's some misinformation. Because of COVID, there's some belief that this can be spread by the air, which it can't. It's spread by body fluids. And really, it has to meet a sort of a cut or a membrane or something like that. So it doesn't spread as easily. But even those who understand that say, look, we have children at a school near there, people from the military base, have children at school, they come out, they go to bars, they go to restaurants. How do we know that it isn't going to spread? So that's the reaction on the street. And that there has been some similar reaction from the medical union, which essentially said, if the Americans are going to send their sick here, why do we need to take them? They should send them back to America. If it's too dangerous for America, it's too dangerous for us. Having said all that, there is a court case in process to block it. And the main element of the court case is transparency, because nobody knows what this agreement actually entails. And so the court case says you need to reveal the agreement, let us see what the safety protocols are, let us see where things are going. The government, it seems, is continuing with the plan, though. The health minister has said that this is not something he needs to consult the public about because it's a health emergency, that Kenyans will also be able to go to this quarantine center, although the Americans have not said that, and that this is part of their general preparedness, which includes other quarantine centers.
Barbara, do we know why the US wants to set up this isolation center in Kenya specifically, why it's not doing it somewhere else?
Well, that's a very good question, because it's a change in policy. So during the previous Ebola outbreak in 2014 in West Africa, those US mostly health workers, really, who were exposed to the virus were brought back to the U.S. And there they were able to get very high-standing medical care in the disease control centers that the U.S. has. So this has been questioned in Congress by former U.S. health officials and also by the Democrats. What the Trump administration says is they want some place close by because they don't want to have to take a long flight. Kenya is close by. And it has a very good relationship on health agreements with the Kenyans. This center, according to the Kenyans, is being set up by an agreement in 2015 to deal with infections and disease and so on. And so the argument from the Trump administration is they want to get people to care as quickly as possible. But they also do stress again and again that they will not allow any Ebola cases into the U.S. This is very much their top line.
What's the level of trust like between members of the local population and the central government in Nairobi, particularly after previous Ebola outbreaks in the region and, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic?
You know, the level of mistrust is very high, and that is also what's driving this. Many Kenyans on the street will tell you the money that the government is going to get from the Americans to do this, which is reportedly about $13 million, that's not going to help us. That's just going to go to corruption. But they also are very suspicious of government, what's called government-to-government agreements. That's what this is. So it doesn't go through a public process. It doesn't go through, Parliament doesn't have to approve it. So they don't know what it is. And they don't trust the government to make the right decision. It's interesting that late last year, the Kenyans signed a new health agreement with the Americans. It's part of the new U.S. Global Health Strategy, which is a government-to-government agreement. And again, that there was no transparency around that. And so that was taken to court saying, look, if you're going to be spending money, which involves, this one involves a bit of budgetary expense, you have to get Parliament to agree on it because that's part of the Constitution. So there is already a climate of mistrust. Ruto's government is extremely unpopular. It's quite easy. I mean, people take to the streets quite quickly here. And the police crackdown tends to be quite heavy-handed. Mm.
What's the situation more broadly? We know that neighbouring Uganda has shut its border with the DRC. What sort of precautions is Kenya taking more generally with this current Ebola outbreak?
Well, the Kenyans have said that they have set up 23, are working on setting up 23 quarantine centres around the country. They have said that they are preparing health workers to be able to respond. They're training health workers so that there will be enough should the virus enter the country. They are screening people who are coming in from either the DRC, that's the Democratic Republic of Congo, or coming in from Uganda. So they say they're ready, that they're ready to have a surge of deploying the healthcare workers and also that they're monitoring. And they do say, again, that this agreement with the U.S. is for Ebola preparedness. And they bring in the Kenyans with that. They say it's not just the Americans. Again, the Americans haven't said that, but this is what they are saying.
Barbara, just finally, what's the broader picture here for the United States and its relationship more broadly with Africa? We know that under the Trump administration, there'd been very significant cuts to international aid. Has this current situation emphasised to US officials the importance of having some underlying relationships and pre-positioning of equipment experts and cultivating that relationship with African nations before a crisis unfolds?
Well, it's a good question because the Trump administration has withdrawn from the WHO, saying that it's inefficient and wasteful. And it has also, I'm sure as your listeners know, dismantled its main development agency last year, the USAID, in a very sudden way, which disrupted all kinds of networks that USAID had. I was speaking to a former CDC official today, that's the Center for Disease Control, a former U.S. one. And he said, look, when we had responses to Ebola in the past, it was very much the CDC working together with the USAID because they could do the logistics. They could reach out to the community while we did this sort of medical analysis and so on. So that has, according to many people on the ground and also analysts, that has had an impact in terms of the response. Now, the Americans have said that they are responding, that they have allocated $112 million bilaterally, and that they've also allocated money to the UN. So they are operating multilaterally, dealing with the UN, which of course is a member of the WHO. So it's a little bit something to watch, I suppose.
Barbara, I've been a great admirer of your coverage from so many parts around the world for many years. Thank you so much for taking some time to speak to us on Breakfast this morning.
You're very welcome.